Welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living Santa Rosa, a spiritual community that promotes global transformation through personal transformation. At the center, we are motivated by a compelling vision of a healthy, loving world, which we call the Global Heart Vision. This vision inspires us to bring the gifts of compassion and loving kindness to the world through our ministries and teaching. What you are about to hear is a recording of a message delivered at the Center for Spiritual Living Santa Rosa. Feel welcomed. Feel at home.
For 26 years, and also my twin kids, Levy and Sophie, are now going to be 24. Sorry, guys, if you're listening. It's great to be here. I love this place. I love the feeling. I love the fact that I don't have to worry about whether I'll feel welcome or not. Your choir director is awesome. Was happy that the music would be inclusive. But you guys are always inclusive. And I speak and teach in lots of venues. And I've learned to steel myself to things that I may experience that don't feel inclusive in order to get to a place where I can at least share what I have to share. But I never have to do that here. And that's because of your all's open heart and because of your leadership. The good Reverend Edward, Dr. Edward, he's, a dear friend and also exceptional, right? Exceptional as a leader, as a teacher, as a thinker, and also as a colleague and friend of mine. So it's great to be here. And the subject of tonight's talk, I usually speak Friday nights. This morning's talk is Shalom. So I want to warm you all up with a chant, just the word shalom, and I'll explain what it means, but goes like this. Shalom, 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 shalom. Shalom, 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 shalom. Beautiful. So shalom is a big word in Jewish tradition. It is also a common word in the Hebrew language, used in greetings, prayers, and everyday life. At our Sabbath services, because our Sabbath begins at sundown Friday and ends sundown Saturday, that's the Jewish Sabbath, we say Shabbat Shalom. Try that. Shalom. Which means, may you have a Sabbath of peace. Shalom is also a common greeting. So in the more traditional Jewish community, you say, Shalom Aleichem. May peace be upon you. And then in Arabic, it's Salam Aleikum. May peace be upon you. In Israel, the word Shalom means hello and goodbye. Shalom, Shalom. It's used all the time. Shalom, in its most simple translation, means peace. Peace from strife, like war or any external conflict, and also peace inside ourselves, a sense of calm and wholeness. Shalem means wholeness in Hebrew, and it comes from the same root letters as shalom, which means peace. Peace and wholeness, they're married to each other. Wouldn't it be nice if we had a little more peace, a sense of calm and wholeness in our lives? Wouldn't it be nice?
Yeah.
Okay. The Jewish prayer book is brimming with prayers of shalom. We sing them every service. Oh, say shalom bimromav, hu yaseh shalom aleinu. So may the one who makes peace somewhere up there make peace down here. Or Shalom Rav, which means may a great peace come. If I could sing better, it would sound better. The Jewish desire for Shalom, at least in the ideal, remember, there's always a difference between the ideal of any tradition and what actually happens. So if you may be saying, well, you know, Jews are really into peace, but the Jews I know aren't very peaceful. Okay. You know, the New Thought people I know, the thought is really great, but some of the New Thought people I know, well, it's the same, you know. There's the ideal that we strive for. So I'm talking about the ideal. The Jewish desire for shalom in its ideal infuses every aspect of life, beginning at home. So a central concept in Jewish thinking and Jewish law is called shalom bayit, which means peace in the home. And according to the Talmud, and the Talmud is the source of most of Jewish life, it's important to know that although Judaism began with the ancient Israelites and their life and history and lore and myth is recorded in the Hebrew Bible, it's not a history book, but the beginning of the story is there. That's not Judaism. If it was, I would be a priest, okay? We would be doing animal sacrifices, and you would get smit. You know, you'd be, you know, the death penalty would be ubiquitous. You could hardly leave your home without risking the death penalty. I mean, living biblically is living dangerously. So you need to understand that. Seriously, Judaism evolved later and is still evolving, and much of Jewish life was recorded in the first 5 years of the Common Era in a series of conversations that ended up being books called the Talmud. And in the Talmud, it says that God's name can be erased in order to keep peace in a family. This means that Jewish law can be broken for peace in the home. So, if your spouse asks you if he, she, or they looks good in a certain outfit, it is completely okay and highly recommended for you to say, "You look great." You actually already know you're in trouble when the question arises. Okay, this seems silly, but it actually comes from Scripture. So in the book of Genesis, God tells Sarah, I think she's like 100, and her husband is 100, Abraham, that you will soon be pregnant. And she laughs, thinking to herself, my husband at 100 is going to be able to perform? That's a polite way of saying it, okay? But when God relates the same story to Abraham, he, I'm putting quotes here, leaves out the small detail of Sarah's reaction. And from that, Jewish law derives this concept that for peace in the home, you can break the law, which is to lie to your spouse. So again, do I look good? You look great. Jewish tradition makes shalom bayit, peace in the home, a high priority. And it's always worth asking ourselves if we're putting enough energy into our shalom bayit, into the peace in our home, with our spouse, with our friends, if you have kids at home, kids out there, whoever makes up your home might extend to work. It's always worth asking, am I putting enough energy into shalom bayit? So this sense of shalom in Jewish tradition extends beyond the home to the community as well, with a concept called mipnei darkei shalom, which means for the sake of peace. And for the sake of peace, we extend the Jewish values, which are other people's values as well, I'll explain, of feeding the hungry and visiting the sick to all people everywhere. So this seems obvious because they're universal values, I think, of any open-hearted person, to want to feed someone and to care for someone. But when you're a small tribe, and believe it or not, we're a small tribe, with limited resources, the impulse is to just help your own. But for the sake of shalom, we are taught to transcend those natural tribal boundaries. So, for example, when I go to the hospital to visit members of the congregation that are there, or any Jewish patient, if I'm called to visit someone, which happens fairly frequently, we're all busy. So the impulse is for me to get to the hospital, be present for the Jewish patient that's there, and then get on with the rest of what I need to do. But I stop and tell myself that minimally, if there's two people in a room, that person could use a visit too. And so I stop and at least say, shalom, hello. And if they want to visit, of course, of course. So this is just an example of how mipnei darkei shalom, for the sake of peace, we do what we do for all people everywhere, can work in my life. Shalom is a big symbolic word in Jewish tradition. And actually, like any symbol, it transcends any one definition. Even shalom as a greeting is much richer than you would first imagine. Peace, shalom, mirrors greetings in other ancient languages, like the Hindi namaste, which can be translated as, the God in me sees the God in you. This gesture is profound and similar to the Jewish idea that we're all created B'Tselem Elohim, in the image of the divine. And then there is, this is my favorite greeting, actually, the Zulu greeting, Sabona. I see you. I see you. That is the deeper meaning of shalom as a greeting, to see and be seen. Everyone wants to be seen. Think of the helpless infant looking up, searching for the nurturing, unconditional love of her mother. That baby needs to be seen in order to thrive in the world. Research has shown that the more babies are really seen and nurtured by their parents, the more shalom they can experience in their lives. And the opposite is also the case. To not be seen is a crushing blow to an infant and to anyone else, no matter what age. So we just stop here for a second. And I don't know you as a group, but I know that this will touch a painful chord for many here who grew up in situations where they were not seen or seen in a horrible way. As we grow from childhood through adulthood to being elders, being seen becomes more of a struggle. I have the pleasure of working with a lot of more mature people. I mean, really, the congregation I serve is an aging community. And I know from our work together that as folks age, they often feel invisible. Painful. We were parents, they say, professionals. We had important volunteer positions. We were somebody. And now, we're invisible. Not being seen hurts. And it also undermines our sense of shalom, of peace and well-being in the world. Our need to be seen transcends the individual. Some of you may have known Rabbi Michael Robinson, may his memory be for blessing. He retired here like 30 years ago. He was a great rabbi for social justice. He marched with Martin Luther King, was put in jail. He also marched with Thich Nhat Hanh and learned from him. When he retired here, he was a part-time rabbi at the synagogue that I've served for 23 years. Although he said he was never part-time, he was just paid for part-time. And he was a wise man. Could be a real pain in the butt, but he was quite the guy. And he said once to me that if we greeted our spouses the way our pets greet us, our marriages would improve. Right? So you should try that. Just don't pee on the floor. Some dogs get so excited, you know. It's all about showing up and being present for the people around us. Rabbi Michael knew what he was talking about. Seeing is a physical response. It narrows the space that divides us. If you knew, you'd be the last to touch one, asked the poet Ellen Blass. If you were taking tickets, for example, at the theater, tearing them, giving back the ragged stubs, you might take care to touch that palm, brush your fingertips along the lifeline's crease. A friend told me she'd been with her aunt. They just had lunch, and the waiter, a young gay man with plum black eyes, joked as he served the coffee, kissed her aunt's powdered cheek when they left. Then they walked half a block, and her aunt dropped dead on the sidewalk. How close does the dragon's breath have to come? How wide does the crack in heaven have to split? What would people look like if we could see them as they are, soaked in honey, stung and swollen, reckless, pinned against time? Shalom as a greeting beckons us to, as the poet suggests, see people as they really are, soaked in honey, stung and swollen, vulnerable and precious, pinned against time. Because time passes whether we notice it or not. Wouldn't it be nice if we left here this morning seeing each other, offering and receiving shalom? Art Green, one of the greatest Jewish thinkers of our time, writes that shalom is Judaism's highest aspiration, a value placed above all others. I wish I could get my board to realize this. This is a bad joke. Okay? A value placed above all others, the vessel through which God's blessing can flow into the world. Shalom is so essential that it is one of the names for God, because it is shalom that binds the world together. And without shalom, the interconnectedness of all being disintegrates. This is a sobering thought, and it reflects, I think, what we're experiencing in our country. This divisiveness that starts to really pull at the fabrics of society. And when I think of shalom as a name for God, and Judaism has many names for God, my mind turns to Emmanuel Levinas. Levinas survived the Shoah, the Holocaust, to become one of the most influential French Jewish philosophers of the 20th century. His understanding of God is profound and compelling, especially for those who struggle with the traditional notion of the bearded old guy on the throne. Levinas teaches that God is not out there somewhere. God is how we respond to the other, the person in front of us. And that response can come in an infinite number of ways. For Levinas, the only notion of God worthy of human focus is one grounded in the ethical. He said, God, whatever the ultimate naked meaning, appears to human consciousness clothed in values. The religious experience can only be a moral experience. You can't go to church on Sunday and beat your spouse on Monday. In other words, shalom as a name for God is an expression of right action, moral and ethical behavior towards the other. It harkens back to shalom as a greeting. Truly seeing the other is seeing the face of God. And when you see each other that way, we're blessed with shalom. I've been humbled my whole life as a rabbi. There are often weeks that pass where I just thank God I made it through the week. And what I mean by that is all the mistakes I made in various ways, the misunderstandings, if I only knew, hindsight's, perfect, but if I only knew at the end of the week what I knew at the beginning of the week, it would have gone so much more smoothly, because I just didn't see somebody or somebodies. And if I would have seen them and I would have understood them, if my heart hadn't hardened, if I would have just listened, it would have gone easier for everybody. Levinas also teaches that you can't murder a face. It's a beautiful line. You can't murder a face. When we really see someone, recognizing their humanity, we cannot kill them. We also can't abuse them. We can't separate families, put kids in cage-like quarters, quibble over whether they need humane living conditions and basic necessities like soap or a toothbrush. To see someone, to try and understand them, how they hurt, what it is to be like them and in their shoes, is an act of empathy. Of course, I'm referring to our southern border, and because of the impeachment, we kind of lost sight, but it's still a crisis. It's a humanitarian crisis. And I'm convinced that those who support our current immigration practices, if they actually could see what was happening and really saw the people trying to enter our country as B'nai Adam, earthlings created in God's image, our government's actions would change overnight. And we would be sending food and medicine instead of the National Guard. I have a great teacher and mentor and friend, Sylvia Borstein, who's famous in the Buddhist world, but also in the Jewish world. And she says the basic teaching is that if you could wake up to how much we all suffer, the only response is compassion. I also can't help but think about the people camped along the Joe Rodata Trail. See, I know it's complicated. We had a large camp next to the synagogue for years. And I know the current situation is not okay for anyone, including the people that live in the neighborhood, because I've been there too. But this is the most important part. And this is the thing we have to fight. And that is the dehumanization of someone because they're homeless. Whatever the solution is, or the solutions are, they have to be a solution that sees the people living outside in the rain, without sanitation, without all the things that many of us have. Whatever the solution is, it has to see them in the solution as people. Levinas, a Holocaust survivor, lived through the long process of dehumanization that laid the groundwork for the murder of millions. Millions of Jews and millions of other people. You know, 5 million other people were killed in those camps. If you were gay, you were killed. If you were Roma, you were killed. If you were political, you know, activists against the Nazis, you were killed. Millions of people were killed. It's just unbelievable to think about. And he knew in his bones what was at stake because he lived it himself. The slow slide towards a society that obliterates the face of the other and thus can abuse the other with impunity. This is the opposite of shalom. And as a people of faith and as Americans, I love this country. It's a great country. And we have great values. We just need to remember them. We must fight this kind of demonization of the other and work towards the basic universal human values embedded in our country. My parents came here. My grandparents came here as refugees. They were welcomed, and they worked hard, and they did well. So we need to get back to this basic universal human values embedded in our country and in the word shalom, peace. I see you. I see the God in you. And my heart opens with compassion to act for you, on your behalf, and with you. Greatest peace, an ancient sacred Jewish text teaches, for there is no vessel that can contain a blessing but peace. Greatest peace, for all blessings conclude with peace. Greatest peace, while contentiousness is despised. Greatest peace, for it is bestowed as the portion of the righteous. Greatest peace, for it is bestowed upon the lowly. Great is peace, for it is bestowed upon those who act righteously. Great is peace, for the name of the Holy One, the ground of all being, the eternal, is shalom, peace. It's easy to get lost in the various meanings of shalom without asking the personal question, what does peace mean to me? How can I have a little more shalom in my life, for myself, for my family, for my community? As I conclude, I want to offer you this gift, which comes from sitting and meditating and contemplating shalom for many years. More shalom can be as simple as experiencing some ease in our lives, cessation from conflict in our relationships and with ourselves. Hard to love yourself. But as much as we can learn to love ourselves, we can learn to love others. To put a worry down, to be less anxious and more present, to get a good night's sleep, to actually take in that you are okay, or even more than okay, to feel lovable and loved, to feel whole. Be nice. Shalom, 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 shalom. One more time. Come on, everyone. Shalom, 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 shalom.